morning. The youths are currently going to be passing around something that's called Plumpy Nut. It's actually quite tasty, but if you're allergic to peanuts, I would advise against it. What this is, actually when we broke our 30-hour fast, we broke it originally with communion, and then we had some of the Plumpy Nut. And what this is, World Vision uses this to help revive children who are really on the brink of death. So when they're really close to death and they're in total starvation mode and haven't had anything to eat, this is what World Vision makes. It has peanut butter, powdered sugar, powdered milk, and a teeny bit of oil in it. And it's really amazing to see. We watched a video actually with a child who was, the child appeared to be not alive anymore, and they had this Plumpy Nut, and it was so exciting to see it, like, just eating it away, and, like, the whole body, like, you could almost see it coming to life. It was really amazing, but part of the reason that they use this is because of all the protein that's in it. So the body gets instant protein, and the body basically says, okay, I have a life now, and everything can come to life. So we wanted to give you a little taste of that and see kind of real life of what one of the things that World Vision does to help these children. And so now we're going to hear a few testimonies. And following the testimonies, there'll be messages and scriptures. So John's going to come up and share first.
Okay. There's a lot of testimonies from the weekend. It was a fantastic time. But the main thing that I wanted to bring up, well, there's two main things. One of which was Joe, myself, and Karen were the adults in the group, and then there was 9, 10 other youths. So and when we first started, you know, we were talking about the laying down rules and guidelines, and we said, when it gets near the end, when you're near the end of the fast, you might, without eating for that long, you might be feeling cranky and irritable, and you need to kind of, you know, don't get in anybody's other's face or business, you know, no touching or goofing off. It might just be a little stressful near the end. And then, lo and behold, 28, 29 hours later, all the youth seemed to be doing just fine. And I looked at Joe, I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, I looked at Joe once and he was just disheveled. You know, he was just, and I was feeling the same way, you know. And I was, you know, a little bit stressed out. And then Karen asked for, you know, she's like, whoever has energy, whoever has some, can do anything, five hands shot up, and they ran down, and they were doing great. I mean, it was absolutely amazing how the Lord worked and what he did and what he accomplished through the youth. I mean, it was phenomenal to see. There was one, our youngest youth, he expended a lot of energy right away, running around, rah, rah, just being crazy and having a good time. So it came to nighttime, lights out at midnight, and all the guys slept in one room, and he was, wouldn't stop talking, and everyone's like, oh, okay. Then I heard one person snore, and now slowly everyone nodded out. And then finally I nodded out, and I was awoke. I woke up to the door creaking open and closing. And I go, what is that? And one of the other youths was like, I think he just took off. And I was like, okay. So I went out there, and he's like, he's out by the door looking around, and I go, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm looking for my coat. And I was like, what's wrong, buddy? And he's like, I gotta go home. And I was like, what are you doing? And I was like, come on. I said, you know, come on back in the room. Let's just lay down. He's like, I can't sleep in there. I go, listen, just, you're super tired. Just all you gotta do is lay down. You'll be out. So we go back in there. 1 o'clock comes. Door opens. What are you doing? And every time I'm just nodding off. And then I'm awake again. So finally, 2 o'clock in the morning, he's out there. He starts crying. I gotta eat. And I go, listen, buddy, come on, hang in there. And then this other youth that's been helping me out, thankfully, comes, and I'm praying like crazy. I'm like, what am I going to do, you know? So finally goes, it was 2 in the morning. I go, you lay down, you snuggle up. And if at 2:30 you're still awake, you wake me up and I'll take you home. And he goes, all right, fine. And he lays down, and he was out right at the end. But the whole time I was like, God, please let him fall asleep. I do not want to take this kid home. Please, Lord Jesus, please. So he fell asleep, and he woke up. And the next day, there was a few other times where he's like, I think I got to go home, you know, for some, you know. I was like, come on, buddy, hang in there. And he made it. I mean, praise the Lord. The kid made it through. And he's just a young kid, and he did it. And he was smiling at the end. I mean, it was an awesome testimony. So that's it. And this is Sierra.
Well, this weekend I learned not to be greedy, because when we're hungry, we can just go in the refrigerator and grab something to eat. And other people in like Chile and Africa and other countries can't do the same. It takes weeks and even months to find food. So we should listen to our older siblings, because God doesn't like when you're hard-headed. And that's pretty much what I have.
My experience during the 30-hour famine was interesting, to say the least. We worshipped and we prayed and we had a lot of fun. But this famine was more than about socializing. I learned that about how fortunate we are, because people in other countries live in poverty every day of their lives. We're so fortunate to live in a country where food isn't an issue at all. We didn't eat for 30 hours, but people in other countries like Ethiopia and Haiti sometimes go days without food. But I know God was helping them. And I know that without God helping me through this famine, I would never have completed it. So I praise God for that.
I'm going to be reading from James 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I saw this weekend as an opportunity to learn about the kids, the starving kids and starving people all around the world, but I also learned a lot about myself, and I saw it as an opportunity to test some trouble areas that I've been having. It tested mine, and I think a lot of the other youth's self-control and their motivation. It tested self-control because, I mean, there was definitely opportunities that we could have eaten. Like, I mean, there's a kitchen downstairs. We could have brought food. There was 5 hours where we weren't at the church. We could have eaten. Like, it was between us and God. It wasn't just between, like, what other people are perceiving it. And also controlled our motivation, because at around 3 o'clock yesterday, no one really wanted to do anything. And we ended up, like, watching a movie, and, like, we took a nap. And after that, it was, like John had said, like, people started getting motivated to do stuff again, and it was just really cool to see, like, how when we really need strength, that God gives it to us. And also, when we first woke up at around 9 o'clock, which I don't think any of us were happy about, we were talking, the girls slept in the youth room, and so, like, a few of us left on the couches, which are about 30 years old, if not older. And like, there were some people slept on the floor or whatever. I was one of the lucky ones, I guess you could say. I don't know how lucky, but I slept on a couch. And we started talking about how we needed new couches. And then after, as soon as we, like about an hour after we woke up, we went to, it was our service project, and we helped this woman move out of her house, move her kids out of her house. They needed to get out of their house immediately, and because they were being, they just couldn't live there anymore. And then we were moving, and like we were all extremely hungry by this point. And we're like, all of a sudden there was this couch that the woman was like, do you guys want that? We're getting rid of it. And we're like, yeah. And so, I mean, that was just a really cool part of it. And that, it relates to the scripture, how we need nothing when we put our hands in all, like, completely to God. We give ourselves completely to God. And then also I'm going to be reading from James 1:12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And this was shown by, I think the key word in this passage is patiently, which was very difficult. Karen had us pray for starving children every time we thought of ourselves being hungry or tired. And that just really put it in perspective for how much we think about how much we're hungry. And these kids have to they don't get nap time at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They have to work all day in the hot sun. And it just really put it in perspective. That's about it.
I will be reading from Isaiah 40. The creator of the ends of the earth will not grow tired or weary, and his understandings no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk but not be faint.
Okay. I'm going to read Psalm 46. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Well, praise God. It was just an amazing time. God really showed himself through all of us and in all of us, and it was just really amazing. Oftentimes, unfortunately, I wish it was more often, but when I feel God's grace and when I feel humbled by his grace and love, those are times when I want to give something back to God. And so I've been really reading a lot about that. And so I'm going to read from Romans 12:1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? So I've been thinking a lot about this lately, and the Lord's been dealing with me a lot about different foods and comfort foods. And as we're doing this Lenten fast, and Pastor talked a lot about fasting last week, and I feel the Lord is impressing on me to not just fast, but to live a fasting life, to devote some things to him and not always indulge in yourself. And that's, I really learned a lot this weekend about that. There's, as Krista was saying, like, some of us slept on the floor. I slept on the floor that night, and as I kept waking up thinking, this floor was really not that comfortable. like, immediately, the Lord was right there to remind me about so many millions, even billions of people in this world who don't even get a shelter to live in. You know, I didn't have to worry about bugs or animals or anything else. And so he's just really been helping me learn about how to live as a sacrifice and an acceptable sacrifice to him, and to not complain, but when I feel like complaining, to remember that there are so many people in this world so much worse off than me who need prayer. And that's something that we can always do to help others. And I also want to read from 1 Corinthians 3, 16, 17, and verse 23. It reads, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? For God's temple is holy, and you Christians are that temple." So we are God's living temple. I think I read in the Old Testament all the things they had to do for the tabernacle and all the different specifics and how holy that was, and how, I mean, they even would tie a rope to the priest's leg in case he wasn't purified or holy enough and the presence of the Lord came and he didn't make it. They'd pull him out. I mean, that's how holy and glorious God is. You know, it's amazing to me. And now we're that temple. We need to remain holy and do the best we can, you know, to be that temple for God that he wants us to be. And as I said, I've been learning a lot about different foods, and I was blessed to see Dr. Don Colbert talk about foods, and there's some things that stood out to me that I really wanted to share. He talked a lot about belly fat and how it can lead to more than 35 diseases and 12 cancers, and how important it is to work on that, and that really spoke to me in a personal way because I've gained a lot of weight since my kids. But so I was all ears listening to what to do about this. But he talked a lot about sugar being one of the main causes of belly fat. And I can certainly say in my case that I'm pretty positive that that is definitely the main cause of my challenges. But he also talked about, you know, not eating partially hydrogenated oils. And he talked about with sugar that, you know, some statistics that I believe I've mentioned one of them before, that all children born since the year 2000, out of all the children born since the year 2000, one-third are supposed to, are predicted to have diabetes. Of course, we don't accept that in Jesus' name, but that's the prediction that they're saying. And also 37% now of children are considered obese, whereas in my generation before, it was much, it was like three times less than that, somewhere in the teens. Also, this is the first generation, our kids are the first generation or grandkids that are predicted to not outlive us, to not live as long as we did, I mean. And he attributes this a lot to our diet and what we're doing. And now he nor I am saying don't ever eat sugar again, because that's, well, at least to me that's ridiculous, or seems ridiculous. Some people can do it. But he's just saying maybe, you know, maybe there's something in your life to put on the altar, like, you know, some of us are doing for the fast, or just in general, just not any specific time or whatever, something that you pick with God. Or maybe there's something, for me, for example, since I was pregnant with Bella, I've been eating spinach quesadillas, which seems slightly healthy, but it's really not when you eat it every single day. And God pointed out to me that this is a comfort food, that this is something I'm doing instead of going to him. And I usually do it at night after I put the kids to bed. And so it's become like something that I look forward to at night or did instead of going to the real comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. So if there's something that you feel the Holy Spirit's speaking to you to put on the altar, whether it's a food or something else, you know, I encourage you to do it for a time, and then, you know, the Lord can help you get back to it in moderation. Dr. Colbert also talked about pop and how the sugar, obviously, in it is not good, as we talked about, and the NutraSweet can also lead to cancer, and the carbonation is also not good for the joints. So these are some of the things that he mentioned that can cause problems in the body. But on the good side, he gave a lot of things that we can do and that will help us, like drinking a lot of water. We're supposed to drink more than 0.5% of our body weight in ounces. And exercise, and it was encouraging to hear that he said even 20 minutes a few times a week, even walking, like any kind of exercise that you wouldn't normally do, can be very helpful to your body. Also, forgiveness is something that can emotionally lead us to, unforgiveness can lead us to go to comfort foods instead of God, and bitterness, and the importance of being aware of maybe writing down some things that bother you and trying to figure out where there might be unforgiveness in there. He was really excited about pomegranate juice and green tea. So they're really good for your body. A lot of antioxidants, and berries and broccoli and cauliflower. So these are just some things that I thought I'd share because it really helps me to try to remember. You know, sometimes I know what I shouldn't eat sometimes, but I don't really totally know what I should eat. So I just wanted to share that with you all and hope that it helps in some way. And the last scripture I wanted to read is from John 14. Verse 16, and Jesus is speaking, 15 and 16. He says, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, or comforter, or encourager," is also other translations. I love the scripture because it just keeps reminding me that the Holy Spirit is not just like to help guide us or give us wisdom, but we can go to him for comfort and for encouragement. And I think a lot of us learned that this weekend. I know I did. That, you know, when we need strength or comfort or encouragement, you know, it's food may do it for a minute or two, but the Holy Spirit's going to do it for a long time. The Holy Spirit can give us joy and peace and all the things we really need long term. So be encouraged that the Holy Spirit is there to help you in everything you need, anything you need, anytime, and that he loves us and he wants to help us with whatever we need to do, whatever God calls us to do. And he will help us to keep our body as a temple for him, the way he would like it to be. So we can just look to him and get helped. So I wanted to share that. And I also wanted to share a story of someone named Sabayu. That was one of the videos we watched. And okay. Hunger had pushed Sabayu's 10-month-old body to the brink. He hadn't eaten anything for days, and he had a dangerous fever. "His body isn't the same as other children," said his worried mom. "He has nothing in his stomach." World Vision staff rushed Sabayu to a special clinic for emergency care after doing a simple test to determine how malnourished he was. They wrapped a color-coded band around his arm. If the armband shows green, the child is healthy. Yellow means he's hungry, and red means his life is in danger. The band around Sabayu's tiny arm was unmistakably red. By the time they reached the clinic, Sabayu was so weak he could barely lift his head. His famished body was ready to give out, but doctors prescribed fast-acting, nutrient-fortified miracle food, peanut buttery goo that you all ate today, or most of you, that helps kids bounce back from the brink of starvation. Just 4 days later, Sabayu's eyes were full of life again, and thanks to more of the miracle goo, his stomach was full of nutritious food. He's like a person now, his mom reported, amazed. He's much better. And with this, we're going to be taking a special offering for World Vision to help these children. And I wanted to read that story to show that it really doesn't take much. So if you don't feel led to give, don't. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. But if you do feel led to give and you can only give a small amount, any amount will be super helpful. I mean, it only takes $1 to feed a child for an entire day. And our goal was to raise enough money to feed two children for a whole year, and I believe that we're about $200 away from that. So we're more than halfway there, and we're still going to be working on collecting some more money. So with that, we're going to take one more offering. So give as you feel led. Thanks. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you for all you do for us, Lord, and all the stuff we don't even think about. And thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do for these children. I ask, Lord, that this money goes to your holy, perfect will only and nothing else, Lord. And I ask that you bless everyone back for everything they've given. And I just thank you so much, Lord, for your provision for all of us, even those children, Lord, that are hungry. I thank you that you comfort them and you're with them. And I thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you have for us and through this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.